Thanks to Grammarly for supporting the Productivity Show. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/TPS to get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. You probably have heard of the saying, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. While most of us agree with that idea, very few people put that into practice. In this episode, we want to help you take this idea and consciously make an effort who you spend time with. We'll discuss how to identify which people you should spend more time with and which people you need to ditch. And as always, you can expect it to be simple and actionable. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/230. And now, on with the show. So we always like to start off our podcast episode with the top three productivity resources. And Brooks, I know you have a couple that you want to share today. So what do you have in store for us?
All right. So my first tip that I like is the WeThings Steel HR smartwatch. When I got it, it was Nokia, but WeThings has bought back the business unit. And so I always kind of liked the idea of a smartwatch, but for whatever reason, I've never been too interested in the Apple Watch. It just seems like a little more than I wanted. Some of the members of our dojo, Katie and Matt Ryan, were sharing theirs, which is the Steel HR. And what that is it's a smartwatch, but it doesn't look like a smartwatch. It looks like a normal watch, but it does all the fitness tracking, sleep tracking, all that sort of stuff for you, counts your steps, all that sort of stuff. But it looks like a nice, classy watch. They just released a sport version as well, but I just have the standard Steel HR. So that's my first pick. My second pick, now that it's the start of the year, is the New Year calendar, spelled N-E-U. And that is a big calendar that I have on my wall. There's a lot of different versions. I personally like the Monday first dry erase version. I like being able to write things on it, erase it, move it around. And that's a great way to see your whole year all in one shot. I'm a digital guy, but I like having that big calendar on the wall as well. I always have it right behind my computer so that I can always look up and just look at the dates and what's happening. And third is the Zebra Delgard mechanical pencil. So that is a mechanical pencil. It's about $5 on Amazon. It has a spring-loaded mechanism inside it so that they guarantee it not to break. So, you know, with mechanical pencils, a lot of times you're always breaking lead. Well, I like this one because when you write with it or when you advance it, the lead doesn't break and it's comfortable to hold as well. So I used to always buy all these cheap mechanical pencils, but now I just invested in this one $5 one and I love it. So the Zebra Delgard mechanical pencil, those are my three. So let's get on with the meat of the episode. And like Tan mentioned at the very beginning, there's this quote you always hear from Jim Rohn about you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I did a quick Google search to see how frequent this comes up. And the Google search that I brought back 385,000 results. And so this quote is something you hear all the time. I mean, we've even referenced it a number of times on the podcast. For example, in TPS 175 about gratitude, we mentioned it. In TPS 170, mind food, where we talked about the sources of information that we allow into our worlds. And we gave some examples of books and podcasts, we mentioned it. And we even talked about it in TPS 171, which is about embracing a growth mindset. So you always hear this quote about you're the average of the five people. But what the heck does that actually mean? And more importantly, how do you go about doing it? Everybody says it, but how do you do it? How do you build this group of amazing five people to spend time with? And so we want things to be actionable on this podcast. So that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to take you through how you can build this group.
Yes. And this is not about ditching your friends or creating tons of new connections, because actually you might like your old friends, you might like your family members, even though they may not be so beneficial in terms of what you're trying to accomplish in your life. So we're not trying to ditch them necessarily. What we are trying to bring awareness to is for you to say, hey, who am I actually spending the most time with? And is this in a way strategic? Is this in a way beneficial to me? And can I do this in a way where it is beneficial to how you want to live your life without hurting the feelings of others?
Absolutely. We want to talk about this quote, but we want to talk about, why is this quote important? Like, why is it important to surround yourself with people who affirm your ambitions, who help build you up? And whenever we think about things internally, we always try to think of them in the context of what we call the T framework. And if you're not familiar with the T framework, we have an introduction in TPS 218. So definitely check out that episode. And then we did a three-part series after that where we do a deep dive into each facet of the T framework. But very quickly, the T framework is comprised of time, energy, and attention. It's our framework for mastering productivity. And so what we thought we would do is just talk about this building the people who you want to surround you from each of those perspectives. And so we'll first look at it from the perspective of time. We always say that when you're evaluating your productivity situation with respect to the T framework, time is the first thing you should tackle. I mean, if you have the energy, you have the attention, but you don't have enough time, then you're going to be overwhelmed all the time. So then the question becomes, what are you spending your time doing? Between the work and the family responsibilities, we all have this very limited discretionary time, so we want to be super selective about how we use it. And part of being a selective is about choosing who we spend the bulk of that time with and what we're doing with them. So we want to make sure, as we're talking about all this, that you're spending this limited time with people that you actually affirm your ambitions and not people who detract from them. So Tan, do you have stories? Have you done this before?
Yes, I'm always very conscious about who I spend time with and who I choose to not spend time with. And if I want to get really geeky, you could even say, look at my calendar and see maybe in a given quarter or in a given year, who did I actually spend the most time with and how many hours did I spend with them? Because everybody that I'm meeting is usually on my calendar. So you could technically look at it and say, okay, Tan spent 5 hours with Brooks in the given month, and then he spent 10 hours with his mom, and then 5 hours with his brothers. And then you can even mathematically calculate Tan spends X percentage of his time with these people. So I'm very conscious about this. And like you mentioned, Brooks, we always want to align people in our lives who affirm our ambitions. And anybody that is not part of that, I'm not saying that they're bad people. There could be amazing people in your life, but there's seasons in our life where we might be chasing a goal, or there's a certain outcome that we would like to achieve, or there's something personal that we're trying to figure out ourselves. Maybe we're going through a hard time right now, and there's certain people that we want to spend time with then versus others. When I think about who I'm spending time with, I'm always evaluating, okay, where am I in my life? And how do I evaluate who I should spend time with? So that's really what we want you to be more aware of as we're going through this episode. And then we're going to share some actionable steps as well as we go through this.
And it doesn't have to be necessarily friends. For example, every Sunday, I make sure that I'm fortunate that I live in the same city as my parents. So every Sunday, I take my kids over to my parents for dinner. And every Wednesday, we go to my wife's parents for dinner. And even though things are busy, and sometimes it's just a short visit, maybe we have an early soccer practice or something, so we can only be there for a little bit. But we always make sure we want to keep those relationships going. So obviously, that's only something you can do if you live in the same city, but it's important to us.
And when we're talking about spending time with people, it's not just necessarily literally being in the same space. It's also about who you talk to on the phone, because that is also spending quality time with people. Maybe not of the same quality or level of being in person, but it's the same idea. So for example, I talk to my parents every Sunday. I live in Austin. My mom lives in Los Angeles. And then my dad lives in the Netherlands. So we're literally all over the world and in different parts of the world. And I make a conscious effort to spend, quote unquote, time with them every Sunday. And I actually even have it on my calendar. There's actually a system approach for me to spend time with them, because I know myself where if I don't have a process or a system in place, I usually won't make an effort to spend time with certain people. And I noticed that over the years, if I didn't have it on my calendar to give them a call or to do a quick FaceTime session with them, then it would usually just not happen. It would just not enter my consciousness whatsoever, because I live and die by my calendar. And some people find that really weird. I remember saying this to some people in my life a couple of years ago. And I find it completely normal. To me, it's the most normal thing in the world, because if I want to spend time with people, you go on my calendar and it's there and it'll get done. And the benefit of it and the results of it have been amazing, at least for me, just being able to talk to my dad and talk to my mom every week and spending time with them that way has been super beneficial to the quality of my life. And if it takes, you know, a recurring task in OmniFocus or a repeating event on my calendar to make that happen, I'm totally fine with that.
Actually, I'm really glad you brought that up about calling and how it doesn't have to be in the same place. And it actually doesn't even have to be that long either. Sometimes just a small 5-minute call to maintain a relationship with somebody can be all you need. I mean, of course, it would be ideal to spend hours together doing something, but sometimes with our busy schedule, I mean, we're talking about time here, it's not possible. That's one thing that my wife does quite well is she has a commute where she drives home every night. And what she'll try to do is while she's driving home, she will try to phone people, coworkers, former coworkers, people she wants to keep in contact with her. And that, first of all, it's just great to maintain that relationship. But second, after a day at work, just having those conversations really energize her. And so that kind of leads us into the second part of the T framework, which is energy. So we've talked about time. Now we're going to talk about energy. And the question is, can the people you spend time with impact your energy? And like I just said, this is what my wife has found. Absolutely, they can. We've all experienced this. There's certain people you spend time with where after you talk to them, you just feel energy. Feel uplifted and you can do anything. And there's also people who have the opposite effect. After talking to them, we feel negative. This happened to me just the other day. Actually, I was just leaving the gym and I'm somewhat crazy. So I go to the gym super early in the morning. So I'm walking out of the gym at 6 a.m. waiting for the elevator and a guy comes up to me. And usually at this time, nobody's speaking to each other. Even if you're in the elevator, everyone's too tired. So usually it's just silence. But this guy just started chatting with me. He goes, oh, how's your workout? And just the questions he asked and the brief conversation we had, it was only 2 minutes. Afterwards, I just felt so uplifted by this guy. And these people are out there. So you don't have to spending all this time with negative people. There's positive people out there that can impact your energy in positive ways. I used to work for what we call here a Crown Corporation, which is a government organization. And every day at 10 o'clock, we'd get coffee breaks because, you know, I don't know if it's still the case, but back then that's what government workers do. You get a coffee break. And so I'd go for walks with my coworkers on coffee breaks and it would just be complaining about this or that. It'd be trashing this coworker and that coworker and complaining about this boss and that boss. And by the end time you get back to the office, you're just feeling so negative just from the people and the conversations that were happening at the time. So there are people that can impact your energy, both positive and negative. So it's about choosing which type you're going to talk to.
We all have people in our lives where when you see that person calling you and you see that caller ID and you see that name popping up, you go, I know if I want to pick up that phone right now. And when you see that happening in your life over and over and over again, that's a sign that you probably should, quote unquote, not spend time with that person. And this is how that person can affect your energy, where if you're spending time with people who just are draining on you, they bring this negativity into your life, well, guess what? It's going to carry over into what you're about to do next, whether that's you showing up at work or focusing on the next task, whatever it might be, you can eliminate this part of your life. And so I had to eliminate, quote unquote, or not pick up the phone or just not communicate with certain people in my life anymore, because every time I saw their caller ID pop up on my phone, I just like the sigh would just come up over and over again. And I just thought, man, why am I doing this to myself? And eventually with some people, I had a heartfelt conversation. I said, hey, you know, I'm super busy. Like, you know, we should, you know, just limit our time to whenever we can, when we're in person or in the same city or whatever. And now that fewer of those people are calling me, I feel so much better because now I'm just less worried and less stressed about certain things. Because we all have these people in our lives that just complain, that are just negative all the time, and there's just no value in spending a lot of time with them. And if you just get anxiety from picking up the phone when you see this person calling you, you just know there's something off. So there's something for you to consider there. Like, who is in your life right now that gives you this sort of anxiety? And why do you need to talk to them? Can you actually not pick up the phone next time? Can you figure out a way to not talk to them over the phone in the future as well? And the flip side is also true. We have certain people in our lives where when you see that person calling, you go, oh man, I really want to talk to this person right now. This person always brings fun energy, or this person just never judges me, or this person is just really cool to talk to. And do more of that as well. Maybe you now pick up the phone more often and call that person, because if you get positive energy from them calling you, it's probably the same case for the other person as well. So consider that as well when you are kind of evaluating your life and where people fit in when it comes to, do they give you energy or do they take away energy from you?
Yep. So now you guys know what Tan thinks whenever he sees it's a text message from me. You know what he's thinking.
Brooks Duncan? Oh no, I'm never going to reply back to this guy.
Exactly. All right. So if you have your time and energy nailed down, the third component of the T framework is attention. So if you haven't nailed down, but you suffer from a lack of attention, you're in this state of distraction, and the people you spend time with can definitely impact that. So my example, anyone who's listening to this who works from home is probably very familiar with this, where people think that if you work from home, that means you're not really working. So they can phone you asking you to go to the grocery store. They can phone you because they need help installing a light, or they're just always in this state of trying to distract you. And they're not doing it on purpose, but they just think that. So that's a way to help that. If you know you're getting contacted but from these people, you need to set up some boundaries and firewall yourself. Another way that this can happen is if you're spending time with people, hanging out with people who talk about things but never actually take action, or you hang out with people and people are giving you advice on things, but they haven't actually done the thing that they're giving advice on. People like that can really, really remove your attention and distract you from what you should be focusing on, or make you focus on the wrong things. This is definitely true with health and fitness type things. This is true for people who are building businesses. People tend to have a lot of opinions and a lot of advice on things that they have never actually done.
I really hate needy friends. And I think you can relate to this as well, where you just have some people in life that just want to spend time with you all the freaking time. They call you every day. They text you every day. They see what you're up to every day. They send you a message every day. They just are so needy. And for me personally, that is just not a good feeling. Even if I really love hanging out with that person, I'm kind of introverted in that sense, where I love spending time with certain people, but I cannot spend too much time with certain people. And I also don't want my attention and focus to be derailed, even if these are really amazing people in my life. Because in order for me to do the best work possible, I also need to be able to focus and put my attention in certain places. And yes, I can turn off my phone, I can put it in airplane mode, put it away, and things like that. But there's also a lot of value in being able to say, hey, what if my friends just contact me whenever it is kind of convenient for me, and I can communicate those boundaries to them as well, so that they understand that they should not call or text me every day, because it doesn't help me accomplish what I really want to accomplish in life, right? So sometimes you need to have these kind of conversations with your friends, and that's totally normal. And it's nothing to be feeling like you're going to be a jerk or something, or feel bad about, because setting boundaries with people in your life, that's completely healthy. And it just feels a little bit uncomfortable. And Wayne Dyer has a great book on boundaries that I highly recommend. I read it many years ago. And I was the type of person who was kind of like a nice guy, and I had a hard time setting boundaries and telling no to people. But over time, I just got more comfortable with it. And I highly recommend you check out this book. This book has been super impactful in my life. So if you have a hard time setting boundaries with certain people, this is really good to get started with, because if you can set boundaries into your life with your friends, you can apply this to business, you can apply this at work, you can apply this with your spouse, your relationships, because we oftentimes feel, I don't know if violated is the right word, but when we don't set boundaries, it's easy for people to step up on us and just take up our time and attention when we don't want to. But then we hold this grudge sometimes where we wish people would understand what we're going through, but they don't, because we never communicated that, right? So setting boundaries is super healthy and it's nothing to feel bad about. And if you just don't know how to do that, the book Boundaries is a good example of that. Now, I will add a caveat to this, where if How to Win Friends and Influence People is like an amazing book for building connections and relationships, the book Boundaries by Wayne Dyer is kind of like the opposite. If you take it to the T and take it to the extreme, you almost become an asshole. So you almost have to marry the two books a little bit. And I know most of you guys listening have probably read How to Win Friends and Influence People. So if you have read that book, just keep that in mind as you're going through the Wayne Dyer book. Thanks to Grammarly for supporting the Productivity Show. Grammarly is fun, smart, and optimistic. They encourage everyone, even the best students and top professionals, to use Grammarly to do their best work and accomplish even more of their goals. It's the new year, so one goal I suggest to improve is your written communication. As you know from recent episodes of the Productivity Show, just having a goal is not enough. You need to pair it with the actions that you take consistently to get there. Grammarly is a great writing assistant that will make you look and sound smarter. And it's available in your web browser, desktop app, and on mobile, there's a handy Grammarly keyboard. You can start for free and have Grammarly check your spelling and grammar, but Grammarly Premium will also check advanced punctuation, structure, style, and give you vocabulary suggestions. It'll even check for conciseness and readability. I appreciate the browser extension. I use it in Chrome. Even if I'm not writing a large document, I love how it catches little errors or suggests improvements. Since a lot of what I do is customer facing, I always want to show that as a company, we value attention to detail. When I'm writing an article, I'll run it through the Grammarly editor on my computer. Thanks to the premium plan, the vocabulary suggestions it gives for commonly used words are really helpful. I love that it helps my written communication stand out and be more concise. Grammarly is now offering the Productivity Show listeners 20% off a Grammarly premium account. Go to grammarly.com/TPS to get 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. That's grammarly.com/TPS for 20% off your Grammarly premium account.
So we've established why it's important, and through the lens of the T framework, to really pay attention to the people that you surround yourself to. But how do you improve that? If you decide you want to improve it, how do you do that? And so what we've done is we've put together four ways that you can up your game when it comes to who you surround yourself with. And number one is taking a look at the people in your life. We call it a people in your life audit. So number one, do a people in your life audit. Because at AE, we always talk about, we've referenced it in the podcast multiple times, how we constantly ask ourselves in our business three questions. Number one, what should we start doing? Number two, what should we keep doing? And number three, what should we stop doing? And this is super, super powerful. We just, a little inside baseball, about 2 hours ago, we just had a meeting where we went through with the team and did this exact thing. And you can apply this to your personal life as well. And you can even apply this same framework to the people that you spend time with. So think to yourself, who have you been associated with in the past year? If you're truly being honest, and this can be kind of hard and a little uncomfortable, so this is definitely an exercise you want to do by yourself. But if you're truly being honest, where does each person fall into those buckets? So number one, who should you spend more time with? Number two, who should you keep, you know, you got it about right. Who should you keep spending about the same amount of time with? And then number three, who should you spend less time with? Maybe that is zero, but doesn't necessarily have to be zero. Maybe you can just dial it back a little bit. And, You're not necessarily taking this action yet. You'll do that later. But for now, you can't change your situation if you don't know where you stand. So as an example, in a different job, I used to work in the software industry, and I'd kind of have a regular group of coworkers that I hung out with for lunch, but then they started hanging out with a larger group. And when it turned into this larger group, a lot of the people there were just complaining about everything. It wasn't even about work stuff, although that happened. It was like complaining about the Iraq war, complaining about this or that. Again, it was just a negative situation. So for me, I thought to myself one day, why am I spending my valuable time and my valuable energy hanging out with this negativity? So I changed what I did at lunch. It wasn't a big drama thing. I didn't say, that's it, I'm not spending time with you. I just arranged it so I was doing other things, and it was no big deal. I still had great working relationships with all those coworkers. It wasn't a problem, but I eliminated that negativity from my life.
About 5 years ago, when I first moved to Austin, I had very few friends in town. And I went through a very similar exercise where I asked myself, okay, who are the people in town that I want to spend more time with? Who are the people in town that I want to stay in touch with, which were very few people? And then who are the people I want to spend less time with? And these were pretty much non-existent because I didn't have any friends in Austin. So this exercise was a little bit different in that sense, where I was really mainly focused on who should I identify to spend time with and who should I really spend more time with going forward. So I started creating this list, and I came up with a list of people that I wanted to get to know in Austin that I kind of knew were in town, but I didn't know them personally. And I also said, okay, who do I need to meet to either meet this person, or who's kind of like the gatekeeper to that person, or what type of person do I need to meet to expand my social circle, my friends in town? And when I first moved here, I kind of by accident stumbled upon this brunch. There was this brunch that was being organized every Sunday by this lady, Betty Jean Bell, and she's actually been on the podcast, or her episode's coming up pretty soon. And she was organizing the social brunch where she is like a social butterfly. She just knows so many people. She loves to get people to come together and have a good time. And she organizes these brunches. And I saw this opportunity where I said, okay, if I just show up for brunch every single Sunday, I'm guaranteed to meet new people, right? So I'm expanding my social circle, I'm expanding my friendships that I'm meeting with the people I'm already going out with. And so I knew that if I just did that, you know, and just focus on quote unquote the system of going to brunch every single Sunday, my life would be improved in terms of the people that I would have in my life. And so I kind of used that exercise to focus on building my social circle. And that was a great way to really rapidly meet a lot of cool people in town. And now when I look back at all the friends that I have in town, they really come down to two people that I consciously identified that I wanted to meet and expand upon and just continue to build that relationship. And what I was looking for was basically social butterflies. So people who, as I kind of like labeled them, as social connectors, people who kind of use people in their life as currencies. And I'm not saying that in like a label or in a negative way, but you know, we all know people who just love spending time with people. They're just people lovers, right? They just love spending time with people and getting people together. Those are the people that you want to meet, because if you meet that person is going to introduce you to a ton of people, right? So if you're moving to a new city or you're about to move somewhere else and you don't know a lot of people, the best thing you can do is to identify the social connectors and then spend time with them. And that has been a game changer for me.
And if you went to these brunches and nothing ever came out of it, at least you'd have a lot of great brunches, which Austin's great for brunch. So it's really a win situation no matter what. All right. So number one, do a people in your life audit. Number two, find people who are already getting the results that you want. So whatever your goal is, there's somebody out there that's accomplishing or accomplished what you're trying to do. So can you find a way to interact with them or at least be in similar circles? Even if you can't meet them, like maybe this person that you want to meet is somewhat aspirational, you can look at how they build relationships. You can look at the circles that they move in, and maybe you can kind of be in similar circles and model that behavior to a certain extent and hang out with similar people to that kind of person who's already getting those results. So an example for me is when I was first starting my online business, a friend of the show, friend of AE, Brett Kelly, he had released his Evernote ebook at the time, Evernote Essentials, and it was doing quite well. And so he's somebody I wanted to meet when I met him at the World Domination Summit. Now, I didn't go there asking all these questions about online business or all that sort of stuff. It wasn't like that. It just wanted to make sure I met him. And, you know, we've kept in touch over the years, et cetera, et cetera. And anytime I did have questions, he was very helpful. So there's always somebody who has done what you want to do. And that can be a way to grow the people you surround yourself with if you don't do it in a creepy way, obviously.
That's a great question to ask yourself, Brooks. I agree. That's a great question. So who has accomplished what I want? That's another way of saying that, right? And it's not just limited to real people. It could also be quote unquote dead people. And what I mean with that is there's tons of people that have accomplished things that you want to accomplish that have written books about their lives. They have biographies, they have audiobooks. And that's another way to spend more time with people that you want to surround yourself with, right? So it's not just real people, but also want to put the option out there that you can spend time by just reading their books, by listening to their audiobooks. Imagine if you listen to our podcast every single week. That's your decision to say, hey, I'm going to surround myself with Asian efficient people. And I think that's a fantastic idea. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased, of course, but hopefully by you spending more time with us listening to this podcast every single week, we're improving your productivity, right? So if you're hanging out with five efficient people, well, guess what? You're going to become more efficient. So listening to productivity podcasts like this one is a beneficial thing to do. But also, obviously, meeting real people is beneficial as well. And asking yourself that question of who has accomplished what I want allows you then to kind of filter through the people either you already know or that you potentially could meet and then say, okay, if all these people have accomplished what I want, how do I then take steps to meet these people? And so when you start to spend some thinking time on that, you'll come up with all these ideas and action steps that you could take. Maybe it's a conference that you need to go to. Maybe it's a workshop that they teach and you can attend that, right? Maybe they go to certain events all the time. Well, then you should go there as well, right? So when I first moved to Austin and I said, okay, I want to build this huge social circle. I want to have a lot of friends in town. Who has accomplished this already in town? And going back to the social connectors, I was like, okay, I want to have kind of like the social circle that these people have as well. So if I spend more time with them, I'm going to essentially get very similar results. So I started spending more time with these people. And one of them was Betty Jean, who was on the podcast. Another one was David, who runs the Internet Marketing Party. And I started spending more time with them. And the more time I spent with them, the more people I got to meet, and the more I started to get a social circle that I wanted and that they already had accomplished. So by just fusing the two social circles that I was meeting from two different people, I eventually got the result that I wanted, right? And it was not just because I spent a lot of time with them, that was a big portion of it, but I also had to actively reach out to people. I also had to organize events. I also had to organize brunches, organize lunch, meet up with people one-on-one. So it's not just spending time with them. You also have to consciously make an effort to make it easy for you to meet people and spend time with them as well. So just think about who has accomplished what you want and just start thinking about that question. Maybe make a part of your journaling ritual right now if you have that going on, or maybe like spend an hour or so just thinking about that question, and you'll be surprised what you can come up with.
I'm really glad you mentioned these people going to the same events and conferences and workshops and stuff like that, because tip number three is to find your people and travel if you have to. So let's say that you're starting out a business and being a professional organizer or something like that. I'm just saying that because that's an industry I know a little bit about. Or let's say you have whatever career you have, but let's say what gives you positive energy as a hobby is knitting. But let's also say you don't know any other professional organizers or knitters. A lot of times we try to do everything on our own. And as an extreme introvert, I totally understand that. However, there can be a huge energy benefit from spending time with people who get you, who are your people, so to speak, especially if no one you currently know is in that category. So what can you do about that? Well, you can start looking for local organizations or groups that are associated with what you're into. So for example, if you're a professional organizer, you find chapters of a professional organizer organization in your area. If you're, say, a knitter, I'm sure there's like lots of groups of people who get together and knit. You can try finding a group from meetup.com, or if you use, say, a particular piece of software in your job, there's often user groups in your area. I know Atlassian, which is a software product that we use at AE, they have local chapters. There's one here in Vancouver. They have meetups. There's one in Austin. I know they have meetups. Well, they're based in Austin. They have meetups. If there aren't local organizations, that's okay. There's often conferences that you can go to and meetups for whatever you're into. So by attending these conferences, it's almost completely self-selecting. You're guaranteed to meet other people who are going through similar things, and you can bounce ideas off of. And doing this, finding your people, can be a hugely productive way to spend your time, and it can lead to really increased amounts of energy. And conferences specifically, we talked about in TPS 225, so you may want to check that out. And that's just been something that's worked really well for me.
Google can be your best friend when it comes to this. For example, if you are an aspiring project manager and you want to spend more time with project managers who've been further ahead and have accomplished everything that you want, then obviously you want to figure out, okay, how do I spend more time with them? So you could go to Google and then say, hey, let's search for project manager conferences or something like that, right? Then all these results start to pop up, and then you start to see, oh, there's actually a lot of events and conferences related to this, right? So whatever role or goal you might have, just look for whatever that is, and then in Google, type in something like project manager conferences or project manager events or project manager certifications and stuff like that. So then you start to find all these events and workshops and gatherings where people come together to learn about these things, and you start to meet very like-minded people. Just like if you want to spend more time with growth-minded people, you probably want to spend more time at personal development workshops, whether that's something like Landmark, it could be something like Tony Robbins, it could be all these other people that teach this kind of material. And by going to these events, you're naturally going to meet these kinds of people. And sometimes you do have to travel for that. But I've met so many people at Tony Robbins events. I'm actually going to a Landmark event pretty soon as well for the first time. And based on my experience by going to these types of events, I've met a lot of cool people. I've met a lot of cool friends that way. So it's worthwhile to, even if you have to go across the ocean or go to another country, like Brooks has to do most of the time, you can meet tons and tons of great people and add them to your life. So whatever subject area you want to focus on or types of people that you want to meet, just go into Google, look for conferences, events, local meetups, and you'll be surprised what you can find. And one of the reasons we started at the dojo was we noticed that most people who are really obsessed about productivity like we are, they cannot really go to local meetups because most cities don't have a productivity meetup. Most cities don't have like an event related to productivity. It's all very corporate. There's nothing like, hey, you know, what do you do when it comes to OmniFocus and due dates? Do you use them or do you use defer dates? Like nobody talks about that sort of stuff, right? Except when you come into the dojo. That's our private community where people like you are figuring out this productivity stuff and they're all sharing what's working for them, what's not working for them. And we have this great forum where people are just sharing all these ideas. And every time I've met a dojo member, they always say, thank you for putting the dojo together because it allows me to interact with people who are just like me, interested in productivity. They want to save time. They want to be more efficient. And if that is something that really resonates with you, then I highly recommend that you check out the dojo. And we'll add a link to that in the show notes as well, where you can give it a try. But that was the inspiration for us to start the dojo because nothing like this even exists right now, right? And we have had a lot of talks behind the scenes of potentially putting a conference together and maybe putting like smaller workshops together so other people could come together and learn this material and meet other people who are like-minded. So if that's something you're interested in, you know, let us know. Maybe we will put a conference together for you eventually. If there's enough demand for it, we will definitely do that.
Yeah, when I was in Santa Barbara at an Entreport conference, so that's another example of going to a conference to be with your people who are into the same thing as you. I was chatting with Erin Chase, who was on the podcast in TPS 226, and she was saying, you guys really need to create a conference. So there's a demand out there for people who are into productivity who want to get together. So yeah, definitely let us know if that's something you'd be interested in. So tip number four is to find people who will hold you accountable. We all have goals that we want to achieve, and there's nothing more helpful to goal achievement than having somebody to answer to. If you're lucky enough to have people in your life that get it, like we just talked about, and will do that, that's great. But most of us aren't so lucky. Most of us are either just not knowledgeable or into the same things we are, or there's too much personal stuff there that it's not really appropriate. So one thing to do is to join up with a group that will help you be accountable. And a great solution for this is a mastermind. So you can find one from groups of people we've talked about in the past, you know, maybe from conferences you go to, or just people you meet at brunch. Maybe a bunch of people will be like, hey, let's start a mastermind together. So that happens all the time. I actually formed a mastermind with some other speakers from a conference I was at Minnesota. We were hanging out afterwards at the pub, and we ended up starting a mastermind that went on for years. So that sort of thing can happen organically. But there's also paid masterminds that you can join, and those can be great because there's the extra incentive of the financial amount you're paying.
Yeah, so if you want to check out some of the mastermind episodes that we've done on the podcast before, we've done them in episode 178. And then also episode 192. So anytime you hear a podcast episode number, whether it's TPS 178 or 192, you can just go to theproductivityshow.com/ and then insert the episode number. So in this case, 178, you would just go to theproductivityshow.com/178 and you'll immediately go to that episode. And if you're listening right now on your iPhone or mobile device, you can just scroll back through our archive and just go to that episode as well. So that's an easy way just to jump right back into these older episodes. And speaking of paid masterminds and being part of an association or a small group of like-minded people, a couple of years ago, I joined this $25,000 a year mastermind. And I know this sounds crazy. I know what you're thinking right now. $25,000, Tan, are you out of your mind? Why would you pay so much money to be part of this group? And trust me, I had the same reservations. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I should do this. Like, is this a good idea at all? Is this going to be worthwhile? But I said to myself, you know what? I want to spend more time with people who are successful in business. They are very successful in life. And they have, quote unquote, the money to pay $25,000 to be part of a group. And if I can be part of that group and surround myself with these kind of people, I know that's going to benefit me. And looking back now, and if I can trace back some of the wins and some of the insights and lessons I've learned from joining that group, I would say, you know what? It's actually been very worthwhile being part of that group. I'm still in touch with a lot of the people that are in there, even though I'm not part of that group anymore myself. But the fact that I've stayed in touch with a lot of these people, I just see so many good ideas coming out from what they share now because we're friends on Facebook. And even just looking at my Facebook feed, because of my connection with them and seeing the stuff that they're sharing, adds value to my life, right? And it was also at the time when I was spending time with them at the events. We would see each other four times a year at different parts of the world. Some parts would be different parts of the States. Some parts would be in Mexico and stuff like that. And it was just a nice way to spend time with the right kinds of people. And sometimes you kind of have to pay to play in that sense. And it's not for everybody. But if you are an entrepreneur yourself as well, and you want to surround yourself with high quality people, sometimes being able to afford to get into a certain program is the fastest way to meet these kind of people, right? Because once you enter like a free mastermind, it could be all sorts of people, and there's no sometimes filter or qualification process, right? So consider that, right? And when we did these mastermind episodes, I've also realized from the comments and some of the emails that we've gotten, people always ask us, well, how do you find these masterminds? And Brooks kind of hinted at them. And most of them are kind of unofficial. So there's no official forum or website that has a directory with masterminds. Most of them are very unofficial. So if you're in a particular industry, most industries have some sort of mastermind. Like investors have their own masterminds. E-commerce people have their own masterminds. There's even masterminds for people who are dentists, right? And they come together and then they share the best practices. For some industries, you have to be part of an alliance to kind of get access to the right kind of people. So just look at your industry and see what kind of alliances there are. Maybe there's a quote unquote certification. And usually those kind of institutions have like programs as well for people to come together. And when you meet people there, then you can say, hey, let's form a mastermind together. And if you listen to some of the older episodes that we've talked about, you can kind of see what the format is and how to run one and then share tons of ideas, but also spend good quality time with the right people.
Yeah, one thing I'll say as we close out about masterminds is one thing I see a lot is people saying, oh, I don't know how to find a mastermind. I don't know how to join a mastermind. There's nothing stopping you from creating your own mastermind. So look at the people in your circles, like Tan said, and find a few people and just suggest it. Someone always has to start these groups. So there's absolutely no reason that it can't be you. So if you're not living in an area that has these type of opportunities for meeting quote unquote your people, or you're not able to travel, or you're super busy, there are options to virtually surround yourself with people. There's Facebook groups for whatever area you're into. There's Reddit groups. Of course, you need to be careful about distraction with those two places, but there are like people have made substantial relationships using these type of platforms as long as you're able to stay focused in that particular area. And of course, there's the dojo, which by Tan already mentioned, which by default is self-selected for a group that will help keep you accountable and help keep you on track productivity-wise. So we're going to wrap up, but before we do, I just want to touch on one tricky area, which Tan touched on earlier, which is that a lot of times our existing friends or even our family, even though we care about them, they're great people, but a lot of times they sort of hold us back. And the usual advice that comes along with this quote about surround yourself with the five people is the usual advice is to ditch them, you know, get better people, hang out with higher quality people. And in some cases, ditching somebody might be the right move. After all, you do have to be careful. It's human nature that we tend to mimic the behaviors of those around us and adopt those norms if you're not conscious about it. If those behaviors are negative or counter to our goals, it makes it more difficult to achieve our goals. So you definitely have to be mindful and careful about that. But what if you don't want to stop seeing your friends? What if you want to work towards your goals, but at least spend some time with your friends and family? Well, one solution is to spend time with people, but not necessarily adopt the behaviors associated with those people. So let's say it's just normal for you and your friends to go to the pub every Sunday and watch football. And maybe you sit there and drink a lot of beer and eat a lot of chicken wings. So you could evaluate this situation from two ways, depending on what your goals are. If you feel that the 3 hours or however long, I don't even know however long an American football game is, let's say 3 hours. If you feel that that's not time well spent, then maybe you have to come up with a way to bow out of that routine. So some of your friends will be cool with that and some won't. And the friends that aren't cool with that, they possibly belong in that ditch category. So if somebody's giving you that much grief about not coming to watch football, chances are it may be time to put them in bucket number 3 and spend less time with them. But the ones that are fine with that and respect your choice, maybe you can come up with an alternative way to spend time. Maybe you can do Sunday hikes, or maybe you can meet at another time for coffee or a play date with your kids or something that doesn't involve that 3 hour sitting in a pub time commitment. So that's one option. Maybe you're fine with the 3 hours, though. Maybe watching football with your friends energizes you. It's an important part of your week. And you're okay carving out that time for it, but maybe your goal is to lose weight. And obviously the beer and the chicken wings is not going to help with that. So maybe what you can do is you can eat a healthy, filling meal right beforehand and skip the wings. Or maybe you just have one beer and nurse it the whole time and switch to water, or just have water. You might get some teasing from your friends, but that's okay. In TPS 229, which is about sticking with your goals, we talked about how establishing a new habit often involves some discomfort, and getting teased by your friends about skipping the beer is going to unfortunately be part of that discomfort, but it will just become the new normal pretty soon. My wife, after university, she traveled around Asia and she ended up kind of accidentally living in Hong Kong for 7 years. And I've never been to Hong Kong myself, but from what I understand, a lot of the expat life there involves going out to eat, going out to party, all that sort of stuff. But my wife had two very specific goals at that time, which was number one, to save money, and number two, to not gain weight. Those were two things that were really important to her. But of course, she wanted to be with her friends. So what she would do is they would all go out for dinner, but she would cook a healthy meal at home, which is not that easy in the shoebox apartments they had there. And then she would go and meet them later for dancing. So she'd skip the fattening meals. She'd skip spending a bunch of money on meals, but she'd still hang out with her friends. And everybody was cool with that. So there's always ways you can adjust those routines.
And before we wrap it up, I really want to clarify one of the presuppositions that we've talked about that makes it a little easier for you to spend less time with certain people. And that is the whole idea of clarity around your goals. And if you've been following the podcast for a while, you know we always hammer about the idea of know what you want, be emotionally connected to it, understand what your why is behind your goal. And once you really, quote unquote, get it, and you have clarity around what you really want to accomplish, you'll start to see that it's a lot easier to reject certain things, to say no to certain people. For example, if you are 100% confident that you want to lose weight, this is like your dream, you're emotionally connected to it, you are logically connected to it, you really want to accomplish this goal, if somebody then hands you a cookie or some candy, it's going to be a lot easier for you to say, you know what, I'm going to pass on that because I'm really focused on my goal. Whereas if you're kind of half committed to a goal, then you might be more inclined to take that cookie or to eat that candy. And I've seen this happen in my own life. Whenever I'm half committed, I tend to give in to a lot of different things. And I just say, oh, you know, I'll just make up for it another day, right? Same thing with our friends in our social circle and who we spend time with. If you know what you want to accomplish in your life, you have absolute clarity around that, it's easy to identify who you should not spend time with or the people that you want to spend less time with. And you'll feel, quote unquote, less bad about it. And you'll just find ways to tactfully kind of like explain it to them and be friendly about it. You know, it's not like you're trying to, you know, hurt their feelings or something. But if you really know what you want, and you can identify the right people that you want to spend more time with, something else has to give. And that sometimes means that you have to spend less time with certain people. So again, the presupposition here is the more clarity you have, the easier it becomes to spend less time with certain people. And if you have that clarity, you'll start to see that it's actually pretty easy. It's not as scary as it might be in your head.
So to wrap up, our four action items is number one, do a people audit of the people in your life and see which of the three buckets that they fall into. Number two, find people who are already achieving what you want and try to either build a relationship with them or with their general or similar circle or network. Number three, find groups of your people, whether it's a local organization, a conference, or something online. And number four, find people who will hold you accountable for your goals, either specific people or like a mastermind. If you follow those four action items, you will be able to build the people who surround you and surround yourself with the people who help hold you accountable to your goal and affirm your ambitions.
At Asian Efficiency, we believe that you shouldn't have to sacrifice your personal life to get things done. You should be able to get everything done in the time you have. That's why we've built a productivity quiz to help you maximize the time you have, increase your energy, and get you more focused. We've helped tens of thousands of people increase their productivity. Within 2 minutes of taking the productivity quiz, we'll show you exactly what you need to do next to increase your productivity. To take the quiz, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Don't let your never-ending to-do list drag you down and stop sacrificing your health and family to get things done. Take the quiz today. You'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. You can also find links to everything we discussed today in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/230. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us an iTunes review or a star in Overcast. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.